You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hi, welcome to this Subway ad for the new Sesame Ginger Glazed Chicken Signature Wrap. How would you like it?
I'll take a...
Sports announcer at home?
Yeah, how'd you...
We just know.
My wife picks up the new signature wrap. It's got double the rotisserie-style chicken mixed with a sesame ginger glaze. She appears annoyed at me, but she shrugs it off. Those sweet and savory flavors are calling her name. She lifts the wrap and... She takes the bite! Incredible! And now she's closing the door on my... Subway, make it what you want.
Limited time only at participating restaurants. Double meat basement, average 6-inch sub.
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle and here is my spout.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout, tip me over and
pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
Ready to stand out? Army ROTC prepares you not only as a college student, but as a strong leader, allowing you to earn the rank of second lieutenant. You will be eligible for full tuition, merit-based scholarships, and develop leadership skills essential for your future. Start strong and enhance your college experience. Visit your campus Army ROTC representative today. To find out how you can earn up to a full tuition scholarship, visit goarmy.com/podcast to locate your closest ROTC program today. Army officers inspire strength in others. Paid for by the United States Army.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
we gotta do something.
Absolutely.
You know what we gotta do? Foga party.
Foga! Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
I want you to kill every golfer on the course.
Check me if I'm wrong, Sandy, but if I kill all the golfers, they're going to laugh me up and throw away the key.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh?
All right, let's try that again. Now I actually have a hot mic. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. Sorry for that bit of dead air. This is what happens when you don't feel well and decide you're doing a show anyway, because it's been so long since you've done any. But we're live. This is the Robinson and Horty Show. I'm one half of the crew, Mr. Rick Robinson. He's the other half of the crew, Mr. Horty Packard. And you are listening to the Robinson and Horty Show right here live on KLR Radio. So without further ado, how is my favorite Amish cohort, sir?
Well, when we find him, you can ask him.
I didn't say consort.
I am well.
I didn't say consort. I said cohort. Come on now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, no, I'm doing fantastic. How you doing, man?
Actually, up until kind of last couple of days, I was feeling pretty good, and then now I'm kind of just feeling kind of meh. But the weather's changed, and all the allergies crap is up in the air again here, and all the ragweed's going nuts and everything else. So I've got cedar pollen and ragweed driving me crazy, which I think is half the reason why I feel like death warmed over. But we're still doing this thing anyway, because Lord knows there's no shortage of things to talk about, and the whole fucking world has lost their minds. Just saying.
Well, yes. Yes, I mean, that's... Yeah, we talked about it last hour. We are now in a universe where Fox News has the number one rated show on late night, and a Christian satire site is doing the best comedy online.
Just, yeah, you know, CERN is at it again.
CERN
is twisting the knobs and making things weird.
I love how that's gotten out in the water supply.
I know, right? I'm starting to see that everywhere. And I'm like, I mean, we started that.
Yeah. We did. That's us. We take credit for it. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, who was it? Nerdrotic. They were talking about it. It was either Nerdrotic or The Quartering that was talking about it a couple weeks ago when they were doing their Mandela Effect show. Bridget Fasti, I guess that's how you say her last name, always talking about it now too. It's like the very first show, Juxtaposition, when you said when did aliens become mainstream, why didn't you get the memo? When did CERN become mainstream and we didn't get the memo? That's our bit.
We didn't get
you're
the
welcome
memo.
America
we didn't
by
get
the way.
The memo because we started the trend, motherfuckers.
You know what, it's because we're so popular in India.
I know, right? That's what it is.
So yeah, no, I'm doing great out here. You know, it's like I was saying, the wind came in last night, blew all the smoke out, and we're just kind of chilling here. You have blue sky and nice cool. Leaves will probably start turning in a bit, and yeah.
Okay. Yep. So it's beginning to seem like fall here, but in Oklahoma we have this, you know. We have this faux fall situation, and then we'll get second summer for about 3 weeks, and then it'll go straight to winter. Because, yeah, we don't really get fall anymore.
So was it determined that calling it Indian summer is racist, or we just not do that anymore? What, you know?
I mean, I still call it Indian summer. I just didn't in that instance.
Because I'm thinking about it, that they're going to have to change the movie, that Bill Paxton movie, change the title of it.
Yeah, well, you know, they could, but, you know.
Which also has Diane Lane's titties in it, which is always fun. All right, yeah, we had the discussion on Monday night between titties and boobs. So apparently boobs is better than titties. Boop. But you know what? We're going to have to do it. Andrew, we need to do a poll if you're listening.
We should do a poll with like four or five of the most common slang terms for titties and see which one wins.
There we go.
Damn, I really am single again, huh?
Uh-huh. And that's all right.
Oh, man. So apparently we have about a half a dozen GOP lawmakers who have started trying to force the CDC to recognize science. Go figure. Who would, you know, since when does the Center for Disease Control need prompting to recognize science? So more than a dozen Republican lawmakers with healthcare-related credentials have signed a letter to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Director Rochelle Walensky calling for the CDC to acknowledge natural immunity within the context of COVID-19. We appreciate your efforts at the CDC in providing vaccine recommendations to fight the COVID-19 pandemic. As members of the Doctors' Caucus, we applaud vaccines' role in preventing infectious diseases such as polio and measles and now COVID-19. However, we must also acknowledge the need to develop patient-centered solutions that evidence medical necessity, the lawmakers wrote. To this end, we strongly urge the CDC to acknowledge infection-acquired immunity. In addition to vaccine-acquired immunity, natural immunity to date has been dismissed without adequate scientific acknowledgement, and the CDC continues to ignore all scientific evidence. But follow the science, yo! Follow the science! Unless it's, you know, how every other infectious disease works. Because, you know.
Well, yeah. Well, no, the COVID is special because, you know, it knows your political affiliation, what time of day it is, what season it is, what kind of event you're... I mean, so, yeah.
I mean, this totally
tracks with the CDC because, you know, now they, you know, they want to... The CDC wants to address gun violence as a public health crisis. And this goes back to Obama politicizing NASA. And you could even say that happened a little bit under Clinton, too. And then it really picked up steam in Clinton's second term with Al Gore. But, yeah, it's just – science – is politicized by Democrats and then it's turned into a religion and because they don't have one. And so making them acknowledge science, that'd be cool. Excuse me.
Yeah, you know, considering that's been their whole argument for any time we come out with anything that says, hey, you know, this kind of seems like it works. Well, that doesn't recognize the science. Well, now you're not. So what difference does it make?
Right.
Fun times.
Yeah, I mean, that was like the I just saw it earlier today, too. The Secretary of Education was using a study to prove that kids needed to be masked in school, and the author of the study said, that's not what my study says. We didn't have a control group, so we couldn't actually say that it's one way or the other. It's like, oh, well, there's some science. And it's like I told you, your account's going to be banned now.
Woohoo! Because, you know.
Yeah, MD, usually we run an hour later, but because there's no red wine, so you're entering the first. This is Robinson and Horty in this expanded time slot.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Things will get back to normal eventually, but for right now, we're just kind of keeping the time slot warm for some folks that are trying to get things built back so they can come back. Don't recognize the science unless it doesn't fit our narrative, and then we should ignore the science because, you know, the other
thing. Because that's science-y.
Well, the other thing that I really like is, you know, you have all these people that are posting all these things now about science didn't lie to you, it's just learning, which is why we shouldn't have followed it blindly to begin with. Science is not settled. It never is. Science changes all the time. I mean, I read new scientific papers almost every single day. Like, now there's scientific paper. Somebody's actually recently postulated that our universe is entirely inside of a black hole.
Okay, I can buy it. But, I mean, okay, so for us older folk, when we were born, we were closer to the point where plate tectonics was fringe science. If you were born before 65, then in your life, plate tectonics has become real science as opposed to just some nutty fringe theory that, oh, the continents are just floating around on – pools of magma? You nut. That's wacky.
If you were born before 65, your dad was sliding down a dinosaur to punch out.
Yeah. So.
You walked into
that. But yeah, so.
I'm not even sorry.
Yeah, but, yeah. So, you know, just science is evolving.
And it always does, because the more we understand, the more our science changes. And, that's like, you know, one of the biggest arguments with the whole abortion bills and everything else is, you know, Roe v. Wade got passed before things like ultrasound technology even made it to this continent. So now that we have a better understanding of when human babies inside the womb can start feeling pain and everything else, shouldn't we really start rethinking how we do those things? I mean, look, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be entitled to do something if that's your absolute choice. But if you're going to do it, you should do it before you know the thing feels pain. Period.
Well, you know, and I talk, you know, people say, you know, how can you be a pro-life libertarian? And so, okay, well, that's kind of easy because, you know, especially being agnostic in that I err on the side of caution of not doing murder. And since the age of viability in my life has changed quite significantly, I just I'd rather not. Just, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I, you know, look, that's just it for me. You know, I have, you know, counting stepchildren, children that I've kind of basically accepted or adopted over the along the way, I have like 8 different kids. So, you know, and but that's my choice. You know, some of them are biological, some of them are blended families, and some are just kids that I've picked up along the way and kind of, you know, they started calling me dad. I have 2 or 3 that are that way. But that's my choice. That's, we, you know, when it came to that, when it came to that decision where, you know, well, I mean, especially, I mean, unfortunately, because I started having kids when I was really young, none of them were planned. And we kept having the same conversation of, you know, we just had, I mean, like, Jesse and David are exactly 13 months, 13 days, 13 hours, and 13 minutes apart. I didn't figure out the seconds, because if it was 13, I was going to trip the fuck out, but that was weird enough on its own, because they were close enough together that half the time when they were in the stroller, everybody thought they were twins. But it was one of those conversations that I had with my first wife, and she was like, well, I don't know if we can handle another kid, and I said, well, we probably should have thought of that before we made the other kid. And so, you know, it's just one of those things. And now, you know, I've spent most of my life taking care of them. And then, you know, her daughter, who I claim is my own, my now a second ex-wife's son, who I claim is my own, and the child that we have together, plus the one from my first fiance that I didn't find out about until he was almost 11. And then I have 2 adopted daughters. And so, I mean, it's a choice. And I'm not, it's the same thing when Chad was talking about vaccines when he was on the show last week. I'm not, or what, I think it was week before, because I don't remember. Anyway. Because
it was the week before.
Yeah, G skipped last week, and you weren't feeling well, and at that point I wasn't sure I was going to be able to get back here, because my house is still a nightmare. But on that note, like I said, it's a choice. And it's like Chad with the vaccines 2 weeks ago. I'm not telling anybody else they should get the vaccine, but he said it himself. You know, I have one of the predetermined conditions that could kill me if I catch this thing, so I got the vaccine. I'm not telling anybody else they should. I'm not telling you the government should tell you that you should. I'm just telling you that's what I chose to do. And that's kind of where I am. I don't want the government to tell us that we have to do anything. I mean, really, I think for the most part, the government should just go away.
Well, you know, it's like friend of the show, Patriot Muskie, he made the comment today that, you know, it's... Would anybody notice if the government went on strike? I mean, usually when the government, goes on not strike, but when the government is shut down, does anybody notice outside of D.C.? So, but to your point, when you were talking about vaccines real quick, friend of mine, GOP Pouncer, she just pointed out that Fauci now considers anyone without a booster shot as unvaccinated. So if you had the Johnson & Johnson, you can't get the Pfizer booster. So what? You go through a whole other round of vaccinations?
Fauci's a fucking moron. Can I just say that?
He's a fucking bureaucrat. And when the boog starts, he needs to be one of the first people against the wall. I'm just saying. We're going to get letters for that one, but yeah.
eh. You know where those letters can go? Straight into file 13, because I don't give a shit. The mental midget of
shit,
DC.
Shit. Yeah, the shits are not given. So. Yeah, exactly. That's what the next lockdown should look like. Just Fauci behind bars. So
that's what the next lockdown needs to look like. So, yeah. So you know, you mentioned earlier when we were doing toxic masculinity, part of the one of the polls was, you know, 3.5 trillion equals zero. Has anybody actually taken the time to look at some of the crap that's actually in this freaking 3.5 trillion spending plan?
It's all infrastructure, man.
So this thing is apparently called the Build Back Better Act, and it was released Saturday by Democrats on the House Budget Committee, and it's already facing heavy scrutiny from many Americans, including me. critics have pounced on...
But before you go, Pelosi called it Obama's Build Back Better program. So she said the quiet part out loud.
Well, you know, I mean, that's we already kind of knew that. There's a few things in here that I think everybody should be concerned about. One of them is a proposed mileage tax, which, you know, I said this on Twitter today, but I'm just going to say this here. Look, guys, if anybody remembers the old Robin Williams, Shelley Duvall, Popeye the Motion Picture, that was not meant to be a training video for Washington, D.C. Does anybody remember the crazy-ass tax collector dude that used to go around and be like, usage fee, blah, 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 this fee, that fee, and everybody, I mean, people in the theater were like laughing their asses off. Now we're living it, and nobody's laughing anymore.
Right. Oh, that's so absurd. Flash forward 30 years.
So, just to make sure we're on the same page, part of this $3.5 trillion earmark, $3 billion will be earmarked for the Department of Agriculture to provide grants for tree planting and related activities to increase community tree canopy and associated societal and climate co-benefits with a priority for projects that increase tree equity. What the fuck is tree equity?
Yeah, that's the word. That's the important word, tree equity, because apparently having trees is a rich people thing. And so, you know, like the poorer neighborhoods, they don't have a lot of trees. And so there needs to be equity among trees. I've been saying this quite a bit lately. There's an ancient Latin saying, credo quia absurdum. I believe it because it's absurd.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Or, you know, more literally, it's faith rests in absurdity. And so, this is the clown world we live in.
So just to give you the actual definition of tree equity, according to the New York Post, American Forest, a conservation nonprofit organization, explains tree equity is the notion that there should be enough trees in specific neighborhoods and municipalities for everyone to experience the health, economic, and climate benefits that trees provide.
But you see, that's okay. Here's where equity falls apart, because equality means equal opportunity. Equity means equal results. So it's not that they're going to plant more trees in the poorer neighborhoods. They are going to take existing trees from the richer neighborhoods to take them to the poor neighborhood. So this is kind of like, I mean, if you take it to its logical conclusion, is massive deforestation.
So we're now going from redistribution of wealth to redistribution of forestation.
Yes, redistribution of trees, which goes – I mean, if it goes to the – oh, Christ. Was it the Golgafringens and who had the B-Arc in – yeah, I think it was the Golgafringens where they – you know, since they made the leaf their primary currency, they have all become extraordinarily wealthy. So, but you know, due to inflation, it's three forests to one peanut, so they've planted a massive deforestation program and burn down all the trees.
Oh boy,
Douglas Adams, you fucking brilliant genius.
But see, here's my problem with all of this, because we already don't take care of the forest that we have, which is why your state is constantly on fire.
Yes, correct.
So if we start taking trees and moving them other places, aren't we just going to cause more places for more fires?
Yes. But as we learned last year, climate change stops at the Canadian border.
No. You know why the fire stopped at the Canadian border? It's because they actually take care of their forests.
No, it's because they were arsonists lighting. Yeah, it's like the most recent big fire in California was started by a shaman. The one before that was lit by some environmentalists. So, so eco-terrorists are always the green peens.
Ew. Why you gotta go there, bro?
Because that's why you have me on, man. I say the things nobody else will say.
This is true.
I have no filter between brain and tongue.
Yeah, I think I'm losing mine the older I get anyway. So as this section of the spending bill continues, both the Tree Equity and Green Buildings initiatives fall in line with one of the spending bill's major themes, climate consciousness. As such, making good on President Biden's promise, the bill allots $2.25 billion to be used for staffing, salaries, and other workforce needs to support the development of a civil climate corps for the purpose of managing National Forest System's land. Once funded, the team of environment protectors will be commissioned to various parts of the country to fight climate change on the taxpayer dime.
Yeah?
Don't we already have forest rangers and all that shit?
Yes, we do. But, you see, this is a... This goes back to Obama's plan of the civilian corps that are... every bit as large as the military, and it just
so
again, this is just Obama's third term, more of it. This was part of Obama's plan.
So basically, we're reigniting Obama's brown shirt program, is what you're telling me.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Yay!
Hooray!
Can we just stop the world? I'm kind of ready to get off.
I'd like to get out of the car now.
can we turn it around? I really don't like knowing that we're hurtling towards this cliff and there's really not a fucking thing I can do about it. Except for keep screaming the same thing I've been screaming for 15 years and nobody's listening.
Well, no, people are.
No, I get it. I'm just...
No. I tell Sam is that it may feel like that we're often preaching to the choir, but more it's like helping saying you're not alone, so
pretty much. So this I'm actually kind of surprised this didn't happen to me, just because of the way my life has been over the last 18 months or so. Drowning victim found with winning lottery ticket in his wallet.
Yeah, a friend of mine said that to me because that happened in Ohio. That is just... And the worst part about it is the reason why is because he didn't have his ID or couldn't... his ID couldn't be verified or something like that. So, and it's not like, he didn't suicide... but it looks like that he was tying off his boat and slipped and hit his head and drowned. But it's kind of like, when the bar and your boss, when the bar wonders why you're missing before the boss does, that tells you a little something about your life.
Yeah. So we actually found the norm of real life, I guess. But yeah, I just saw that headline. I was like, man, that just seems like something that would have happened in my life. I finally win the lottery, and before I can cash it in, I die.
So, sorry, I'm just getting something across my feet. It looks like Corey Lewandowski has been banging Christy Noem. Damn God, it. I hope not. I hope she'd have better taste than that.
Damn it.
Oh, okay. Made unwanted sexual advances. That's about right.
Okay, that sounds better, because I was about to be like, damn it, I'm gonna have to scratch her off my list of potential next ex-wives.
Huh. Yeah. So, okay. Good. Thank God. I was going to have to get disappointed because that dude is just fucking slime.
Pretty much. It's just kind of gross.
Yeah. But, you know, who knows what attracts people. What else you got?
So this is interesting. Let's see if the audio will play. Hang on. If I can actually get it to work.
Should I start humming the theme to Jeopardy?
...an economy from a Republican governor that had a gigantic deficit. And I left a huge surplus when I left office. And that's the reason why so many Republicans have endorsed me. Over 24 prominent Republicans. Tonight, I have the leading conservative in America here, Bill Kristol, who has endorsed my campaign for governor. I have Delegate Dave Ramadan, one of the most conservative...
So, in case anybody's wondering, if you don't recognize the voice, that's Terry McAuliffe, who just called Captain Stooping the leading conservative in America.
Yeah. No. No.
Damn it, sir. Stop it.
Yeah, no, that's even his dad wasn't the top conservative of the time.
Oh, fun times, fun times.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, there's that. Also, in another surprise move, Terry McAuliffe was actually quoted as saying that parents shouldn't have any say in what their schools teach their children.
Yeah, that's good. And then you also had Nehru come out in support of defunding the police. So, yeah, even Democrats in Virginia are going, you're not helping. Stop it.
Just make it stop.
Right. So, okay, Jeff sent me something the other day. You'll know him from In the Crease and Lost Wanderer. And it's perfect for this show. J. Michael Straczynski is on board for a reboot of Babylon 5.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up because I was going to bring that up next. I saw that today and was like, oh my God, Ordy would be like so thrilled about that. But you already knew, so damn it.
Yeah, no. And yeah, we need to talk about that. And you know, one of the things I liked about it is, you know, in his comments, he had said that he's not going to follow the same stories, really, because the surprise isn't there anymore. So it's going to be a reboot, but done differently. And I'm kind of like, I'm really on board with this because the one problem with Bab 5, aside from the fifth season that doesn't exist, is that it didn't age well graphically. It wasn't even. At the time, it was one of the first to jump on the CGI bandwagon before CGI was really there. I mean, we were just basically out of Last Starfighter tier CGI. So they didn't have the budget to do what they did. Now that Time Warner is part of HBO, which is owned by AT&T, and Warner owns the distribution rights to Babylon 5, they're going to bring it back. And it will have the – because of the cult following, I'm sure it will have a lot more money thrown at it.
I'm just curious to see if they work at any cameos. The one I'm going to miss is Jerry Doyle.
Yeah, his passing – that one hit hard. You know, especially because he was kind of conservatarian and in talk radio too, so –
Yeah, I didn't know this until shortly after he passed, but we were actually on the same network for a while. One of the networks that picked me up out of California, the CRN network, that was actually the one that launched him.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, cool. I was like, wait.
But yeah, no, I'm... I'm looking forward to this one. And like I said, if, you know, he keeps the vibe the same, but... You know, kind of changes the stories. I believe D. Lynn did die, and obviously, God, who plays Sheridan? Not Sheridan, the one before Sinclair.
Yeah, I mean, they were all kind of old back in the day, though. Yeah. So, I mean, it's definitely.
But Claudia Christian's still around. Bruce Boxleiter's still around. I mean, it's Bill Mummy's still around.
It's going to wind up having to be a full reboot because, I mean, anybody that was involved is too old now to do more than, you know, probably show up in some alien stuff once in a while.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when they redid Battlestar Galactica, they really had a great role for Richard Hatch, who played the original Apollo. So, and he played kind of one of the bad guys in it, you know, or at least, you know, morally
questionable.
Missing a moral compass. Yeah, morally questionable. So, didn't really have a strong moral compass. So, but, yeah, so, I mean, and Bill Mummy, he's still really young-ish. So, I mean, young enough to pull it off. God, can you believe that guy was like a kid on the original Twilight Zone?
Yeah, that and Lost in Space.
Yeah.
But yeah, don't make me wish you to the cornfield.
Right. So, yeah, and I'm not even consciously optimistic on it because it is Straczynski on it. And, you know, he made a comment too is that, you know, he is much more seasoned as a writer. And he's done a buttload of TV and movies since then, too. So I think he'll be able to tell the story even better. I am optimistic.
I'm just really glad that we should be to the point now where the technology and the story should be able to match.
Yes.
Because that was the thing. Babylon 5, you know, other than the fifth season, which is a side effect of CERN and isn't real in any other reality, it had a really great story. And.
Yeah.
It was like, I don't know. I mean, because, you know, and this is, and we've talked about this before too, and a lot of people that don't listen to this show may not know this, but the whole idea from DS9 was actually stolen from the folks from Babylon 5. And that's why there are quite a few story similarities here and there. But the funny thing is, while Babylon 5 still had the better storyline overall, DS9 had the better budget, so they were able to keep things more, you know, actually looking like it was the future instead of, oh my God, somebody did all this with Windows 3.5.
Right. Yeah, no, and DS9 really holds up. I mean, I'm still watching it from time to time, and it holds up even better than TNG did. So, but yeah, Babylon 5, yeah, if you didn't know, Babylon 5 was originally pitched to Paramount and then got picked up by Warner Brothers after Paramount said no, and then a few years later they developed a Star Trek that took place on a space station instead of a ship and had many similarities during the first couple seasons. Even the overall arc of the Jem'Hadar and the Shadows, not dissimilar. So,
yeah.
And the wormhole aliens being – yeah. So, all right. So, yes, very similar. In fact, there was actually a lawsuit in Bab 5-1. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that I do find disturbing about a lot of Star Trek projects. They steal shit all the time. I mean, that's like the whole spore drive thing from Star Trek. That was actually – Star Trek Discovery. That was stolen from a video game.
Yeah, it wasn't that, but I mean – they went out of their way to destroy the guy who made the video game. I mean, it wasn't just the spore drive. It was the blue tartarids, half of the characters, Michael and the gay couple, and all of it was just ripped straight out of that video game. And Nerdrotic does a great series on it, too. But, yeah. So, in fact, the game's name is Tartarids. So, yeah, if you look into that, it's just Discovery just completely ripped him off. And all he wanted was acknowledgement. He didn't want money. He didn't want anything. He just wanted acknowledgement. And, you know, just kind of like a, hey, get your fans off my dick kind of thing. My parent, you know, my dad's dying. And, you know, just call off your trolls. And they doubled down on it. So.
Yeah, I mean, and I've told you this story before, but we've got a few minutes, so I figure what the hell. I have a very similar story because when back when I was maybe 17, 18, 19, I put together a typed up draft and didn't know any better. So I sent it over to Simon & Schuster, which was the publisher for Star Trek at the time before they went over to Pocket. And then fast forward probably 4-5 years, maybe six, and all of a sudden there's a completely different Roddenberry project with a completely different name that has so many of the bits and pieces of my idea for the Star Trek story that I had. I'm just like, are you kidding me right now? Like, I had a concept called Slip Warp, which was basically faster than warp drive. They called their Slipstream. I had basically, and it was, my idea was actually from, I think it was the seventh season, where Worf was like jumping from reality to reality, and there were all these different enterprises that were all in the same place at the same time there at the end. And it was basically going into one of the universes where the only person that was left was Wesley Crusher, basically in a shuttlecraft, and he found a way to go into black holes to be able to get into other universes. And so in my original story, the first thing he did was go to an alternate universe and grab the parallel Riker. And next thing I know, there's this whole story about a captain being basically stuck in a black hole for 300 years, and he comes out and his entire civilization is gone, and half the technology that I created is part of this show. And I'm just like, you motherfuckers. You motherfuckers. And I didn't even get a thank you. Bastards. Bastards.
Yeah. Yeah, and Kurtzman is just absolute garbage, so... But yeah, that's a very common theme. Not only do they steal from everybody else, they even steal from themselves. Or you watch the first couple seasons of TNG or Deep Space Nine, they're just ripping off the one that came before them.
Yeah, and it's like such a common thing. And I mean, it happened in pretty much every iteration. The first few episodes were basically like rehashes of things that had happened before. Even Enterprise, the first couple episodes were basically piggybacking off of things from Star Trek, because the first thing you see in Enterprise is Klingons.
Right.
Like, yep. Hello? Haven't we done this before?
Hello?
We've done this before, yes. But anyway. I don't know. I'm still paying for my CBS All, or I guess they call it Paramount Plus now. I still call it CBS All Access, but anyway.
I kind of bag on that and NBC's Peacock on the culture shift whenever we're talking about it. And, you know, we wonder why they put it on that instead of their more popular network. It's like, well, or why they put it on their more popular network instead of, like, Peacock. I'm like, well, it's because they want people to watch it. So.
Yeah, this is true. But yeah, I've noticed with all the streaming services I have, my Dish contract is up in like 3 days. I think I'm fixing to tell them to come get their shit, because I'm just going to put a fire stick in every room because we don't ever watch Dish anymore.
Same. I mean, I'm coming up to my yearly renegotiation where I tell them stop charging me for hardware and I'll stay. And then something happens that I end up keeping it for the year and, you know, they'll give me some deal. But it's just becoming... Why?
It's just money that I don't need to spend, because I mean, at this point we have the Disney Plus bundle, we have CBS All, the CBS All Access, I have Prime, I have Netflix. I mean, at this point, I might as well, for what I'm already paying for those, I could get rid of Dish, get basically YouTube TV, and basically by the time I'm all said and done, pay the same price I'm paying for Dish right now, instead of what I'm paying for Dish plus about $50 for other streaming services. So.
Yeah, and I sold my stock in Echo Star. So it's kind of like I don't have the emotional attachment anymore for its success. Yeah, so and I did the same thing with my XM too. I just converted them both into cryptos. But I'm just kind of like, it's one of those things. You know, it's like getting rid of a kid. Yeah, I've had Dish for 25 years of my life, half of my life almost. I've had Dish. I'm just like, but. You're just unnecessarily expensive, and that's, I don't know, if they started offering internet too, like good internet, not shit internet like you get from DirecTV, I might consider, you know, like if they went Elon Musk on it.
Yeah. You know,
but what? Now it's like I keep getting messages from Hulu that you can add, you know, a lot of other things. You know, what I found interesting was you can add HBO Max on Hulu. And those are basically direct competitors now. Yeah, because Hulu is owned by Disney, and HBO Max is Time Warner, AT&T, and those are the only two real games in town anymore on the big end, you know, with the big boys fighting each other. And so it's like...
Well, that yeah. means it's also time to start reading the tea leaves, though, because if those two are starting to work together, what the fuck is about to happen?
Yeah. Exactly. Then it's just that one Doctor Who in the early years with Bad Wolf.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, where it was just all the TV channels were one, you know, owned by one company.
I kind of feel like we're headed in that direction, whether we want to or not.
And that is when the propaganda will become complete. Anyway. Yeah, I mean, I'm on the fence. I want to get rid of satellite. I really do. And like you said, it's an unnecessary cost. It's 100 and change a month that I don't really need. So, I mean, and I've got 99%. I mean, I haven't turned on Dish in forever. I've got some DVR stuff from back when The Blaze was on there. Yeah, it's like the Christmas sweater from Glenn Beck and a couple other things that I just keep around because it's nice to have during the holidays. But, yeah. No real reason to keep it. Come get your shit.
Take your shit, get out. Oh, wait, never mind. That's a different story.
But as satellite services go, I prefer Dish to DirecTV.
Oh, me too anymore. And I actually used to work for DirecTV back in the day. But honestly, I think Dish's technology is more stable.
And their channel grouping is more intuitive.
Well, that's because whoever came up with DirecTV's channel grouping was high.
Absolutely.
There's no other explanation.
Here's all your movie channels, and then we'll put a sports channel in there, and then here's some more movie channels, and then here's a religious channel, and now we're back down to Spanish.
Well, see, what? Well, part of that was because Dish, when Dish was first created, they kind of had the same problem because they would add new channels and they would wind up being in weird places. And then they just put this notice up about 3 weeks in and says, hey, by the way, this channel is now moving to here. DirecTV never did that. So it's like going to the grocery store and, you know, and you have this idea where you know where everything is and then suddenly they change it all. DirecTV did the exact opposite. They kept throwing shit in the middle and you never knew where anything was. So you're like, wait, where's this channel again? And why is it in the middle of this particular group of channels? And what the hell?
Right.
Not only is DirecTV not only is Dish better, Mike, it's also cheaper.
Yeah, and that, I mean, unless you're with AT&T, because again, bundling and it's. But unless you're with AT&T cellular or landline, then yeah, Dish is definitely superior. Their DVRs have always been larger. Their HDMI format is cleaner. It's always been superior.
Ron, I'm not talking to you anymore, sir. Just kidding.
What's that?
He's like, I've never had Dish. I did like DirecTV, though. Actually, for a long time, yeah. I did like DirecTV too, but I mean, honestly, I had Dish before I started working for DirecTV. But when I had Dish, I mean, it was back in the day where basically you went and bought the boxes and you had to put up a Dish yourself, and that was fun.
Yeah.
But I mean, even back then.
What's the signal strength on that?
But yeah, I mean, back in the day, it was kind of a toss-up. And then for a little bit, DirecTV kind of actually had better equipment and better picture quality than at some point.
Because they had the NFL.
And then Dish just said, you know what? We're going to kick your ass now. And I mean, honestly, that's it for me. I mean, because with DirecTV, you know, there's just extra BS you have to put up with. Now, granted, I haven't used their services in a while, so I don't know if they have anything comparable to what the unit that I have with Dish. But what I liked versus what I was used to dealing with DirecTV is I have one box, and in between the primetime, anytime stuff and everything else, back when I was watching a lot of the TV, I had one tuner that was split into like four channels that could record everything on primetime all at once.
Oh, you're talking about with the Joey and the Hoppers?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no, that is an awesome setup because I've got that right now too. And, you know, so it's like, yeah, is the primetime anytime is cool. And like you said, you can go and watch, you know, depending upon how many boxes you got, you can go and watch something else while you're recording all four primetime network. Yeah. So Dish has got a lot of cool features. Plus their DVR is really intuitive to use too.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I haven't messed with DirecTV's technology in over a decade at this point, so I can't really compare the two. But from what I'm used to now, I much prefer Dish. So I don't know.
Yeah.
So my honest recommendation for Mike, who I think was the one that was asking for the comparison.
Yeah, that was Mike.
Is you might want to go to Dish's website since you already have DirecTV's equipment and kind of compare the two. I do agree with Ordy that at this point Dish's signal or their picture quality is cleaner. But again, that's because they're using a different style of technology than they were before, because that didn't used to be the case. Dish was the first one that allowed you to watch more than one TV on the same box, but that used to cost you signal integrity. It doesn't now.
Right. So. Yeah, and it's been a while since I've seen a Dish setup. I mean, I do have some clients who will have me come over and set it up and everything. I mean, DirecTV, not Dish. So it's kind of like, okay, putting on my DirecTV brain and, you know, like I said, their channel lineup isn't intuitive, and Dish has always just been easier. But it could also be because I use it. You know, it's kind of like I can program an Fire Stick or an Echo Dot a whole lot faster than I can with Google Home. Yeah, because I'm familiar with, you know, the Amazon setup.
All right. Well, since we went commercial free and I'm starting to feel like crap again, I think we're about to wrap things up for the night because we actually didn't take a break.
Yeah, we did go commercial free, didn't we? We didn't take a break. We went a straight hour on rant.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Well, yeah, you're feeling like shit, so let's call it.
Anyway, where can folks find you, brother?
Well, now that we've done this show, they can find me tomorrow night on Juxtaposition with you, where we will be doing our primer show on demonic possession. Then back around on Monday, you'll find me on One Nation Under Foo with Politibunny, Cyber Chill with Lou, then back with you again on Wednesday night doing this Robinson and Horty thing. And on Thursday, I'll be The Culture Shift with Brad, where we turn our skeptical eye on all things Hollywood. You can also find me on Twitter as That Amish One, and Minds and MeWe as Ordy Packard. How about you? Where can people find you?
Don't forget the Circle K. They can always find you there.
And behind any Circle K.
And you can find me pretty much anywhere on social media at RowdyRick73. You can find me here on KLRM Radio every Tuesday, Wednesday, and every other Thursday night, either producing or starring in one of our many shows. And probably if, well, actually, when I get my house back to normal, I do plan on relaunching a morning show of some sort. I don't know if Stacey will be a part of that one because we haven't talked much since my life fell apart, so I don't know if she still wants to do it or not, but I do miss the morning show. It's just right now there's just too much going on, and as I was teasing folks a little bit, I don't remember if I said this on the air or not, but kind of toying with the idea of maybe doing a Saturday project. I'm not sure. It'll probably be a Saturday evening project, though, just because who knows. We'll see.
Well, that would be kind of cool.
I just realized, you know, weekends was always one of the hardest things for us to fill in because nobody really wants to work the weekends. And I'm like, you know what? If we're going to try to start doing a 24/7 always on field, we got to fill stuff up because, yeah, it's going to have to happen.
You know what? When we started doing this, there was really only two nights that were filled on the network, sometimes three. But now we've got all but one.
Pretty much.
And Sunday nights are kicking ass.
Oh, yeah, I know. I still see the numbers, and I do listen. I just don't always pop in the chat because for some reason people get nervous when they realize I'm in the chat. They're like, oh, my God, he's here. Like, yeah, whatever.
The boss is here.
Anyway. All right, so on that note, folks, we are going to get out of here because I'm about to lose my voice, and I still have 8 hours of work to do tomorrow and show with Ordy. Besides, I have some NyQuil with my name on it because I'm hoping I can kick this shit overnight. Thank you for joining us. Thank everybody for making Wednesday nights the success that it's always been on KLR Radio, and as it continues to grow, thank you very much for those of you that are listening live, Memorex podcast, however you do so. Thank you very much. And again, in the words of Bill S. Preston Esquire and Ted Theodore Logan, be excellent to each other, and I will see you when I see you. God bless. I'm breathing in the chemicals. Yeah.